Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 20th, 2022. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace and mercy and peace are all of ours through our Lord and our Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So as you heard me read that second lesson, as you heard me talk to the children about that lesson, you're probably wondering, what in the God nation is this going on here? What is the purpose for this being taking place? Why are we focusing on someone dying on a cross when it's King, Christ the King Sunday? What's going on here? Doesn't make sense. And for those who were there on that Friday we call good, they probably were wondering the same thing. They saw no kingly pose at all on the cross. They saw only a man, poor, miserable man. And yet you know what happened up to those days, the hours leading up to that cross. You remember those words recorded in the Gospels where Jesus was betrayed by his own disciple Judas, denied by his disciple Peter, given an unjust sentence by the governor Pontius Pilate and the ruling council of the Jewish nation. There he is, 6 hours hanging on the cross, and those around him are jeering him, ridiculing him, mocking him. You know the scene. And you have those words that you found in our gospel reading for today. The criminal crucified with Jesus, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. As I told the children, Jesus said not a word. Now these people who were there witnessing this crucifixion of Christ, they saw that he had done miracles in the past. For 3 years, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle to prove he's the Son of God. And yet so many of them said, not interested. Don't really care. Unless you're going to be an earthly king, an earthly ruler for me. And so we find these people of Jesus' day constantly thinking that he was someone he was not. This man hanging on a tree was not worth their time. Now, it may seem easy to criticize them because, well, they should have known better. I mean, he came to be the promised Messiah that we sang in this hymn just before the sermon. He proved himself to be God by his miracles. There he is, a sacrifice of love on a tree that was promised for ages past. But before we go too far, perhaps we need to look within ourselves and see, haven't we also done the same thing? Lord, if you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then certainly you have to do better than this. I mean, you have to do better for me in my own life. Lord, if you are the King of Kings, you need to do something to show it. You need to be more involved in my life to take care of me, to give me more blessings, more bountiful, so I can be more generous and give to other people. Lord, if you only do this and do that, we place conditions on God so he might reward us for the things we have done. Well, so it was on the cross. So it is today. Our Lord God, the King of Kings, does not give in to our every whim and our wishes. He does not seek out our requests and say, here, they're a pretty good person, so I'm going to give them this or that. He doesn't ask us to put conditions on him. So we find that the Lord says that he is going to be indeed someone that we want to look for, however, as the King of Kings. So as we look at this text, you may say, well, here he is hanging on a tree. How could he be royal and mighty and powerful? Yet we understand that we can still see your king today hanging on a cross. Now, America has been called a Christian nation for as long as we've probably been around, and historians can judge that for themselves and historically look at the facts and decide if our forefathers were as Christian as we think they were. But what is it that makes Americans be so special? What does it mean to have such a great nation? Someone would say it's because of the freedoms we have, right? The freedoms we have to carry on so many different things in our life in freedom. What is it that makes us such a great follower of Jesus Christ? It's the freedom that he's given to us. The freedom we have of the forgiveness of our sins. The freedom of knowing that he has justified us freely by his grace. But American culture has changed. Did you realize that according to statistics, surveys, only 5% of unchurched Americans are looking for a church home? American Christianity has basically gone down the tube, hasn't it? There's a survey that was put out surveying 2,000 young Americans. 2,000 Americans living today were surveyed and they responded this way in some of these questions. Agree or disagree, I can see how attending church has some practical benefits for some people. 19% agree. The church is full of hypocrites. 72% agreed, quite a few. Agree or disagree, religion does more harm than good. 34% agreed. These are young Americans who more than likely do not have any connection to church or Christ, and this is their response. And we might say, throw up our hands and give in. So much for celebrating the gift of the gospel. And yet, what do we find also in that survey? 89% acknowledge this fact. 89% said this. I have at least one close friend or family who's a Christian. And 78% said, I enjoy having conversations about spiritual beliefs. Yeah, it kind of raises some eyebrows, doesn't it? So get the point? It's not necessarily about program after program that a church offers. It's not necessarily your pastors that bring people in. It's not even the better coffee and donuts we have after church. It's about you doing what Christ has asked you to do. He says that we are to be little Christs, walking and talking our way through life, sharing the message of Jesus with those we come in contact with. We just simply share and tell and let the Holy Spirit convert. So do we live differently in this building than when we go out that door? Is that the troubling thing going on, that we don't want to share our faith? Do we stay quiet and hide our faith when we walk out these doors? If so, do we say to ourselves, well, I kind of feel like King David now. I'm moaning all night long, struggling over my sin of rebelliousness and refusal to listen to his word. Do you feel that you've let God down because you place conditions on him or because you have not fulfilled his walk with Christ as you wanted to and as he's asked you to do so? If that be the case, then remind yourself what God says clearly in his word. You don't have to place conditions on God. You don't have to find a solution on your own good works and ways to gain heaven and forgiveness. God declares to you that you are forgiven in Christ. You heard that confession of your own sins and you heard that absolution already in this service. Jesus himself declares that you are a forgiven child of God. Despite your past and your present, God forgives you and redeems you. He is Christ our King who went to the cross to die. But he had to do a whole lot before that too, didn't he? He had to leave the great mansion of heaven to become a lowly baby born in Bethlehem, which we're going to celebrate in about a month. But during this time on earth, he had to live a perfect life because we could not. And you hear how the criminal responded to that effort of Jesus to live a perfect life. He had to sacrifice himself on the cross because we were not willing to do it and could not fulfill that command because we are sinful, unworthy and unclean. And yet we find in the treasure of the gospel the great news that Jesus Christ is not dead, but he's alive. In Colossians chapter 1, that last reading, you heard that great news that Jesus gives us peace by shedding his blood on the cross, because this Jesus is not dead, he is alive. And because he is alive, we know that our sins are completely forgiven and forgotten by our loving God. So now that's great news for us to share and to proclaim, that Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, died on the cross and rose triumphantly from the grave. We also understand the simple fact, what our text says, that when we see Jesus our King, we will see him on the last day. With our own eyes, we will see Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We hear that because what Jesus had a conversation with that man on the cross, that criminal, the believing criminal. We don't know what took him there, this criminal, what crime he committed. It must have been something really bad to be crucified alongside with Jesus. But in that conversation that the two have on that cross, we find that what we typically do, I pray every day, certainly do here in public worship. This man confessed his sins. He did not come up with any excuses. He did not try to say that he wasn't worthy of this crime, the sentence of crucifixion. He gave in to his crime, sin, his punishment, without any worries or concerns, because he knew that he was wrong. And as he confessed that sin, he said these wonderful words: "This man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." Jesus has done nothing wrong. Why is he here? He's perfect. He's the Son of God. This man declared innocently enough what Jesus had done for the world. He not only recognizes that Jesus is his Savior, he also recognizes that Jesus is the King. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In order for Jesus to be a king, he's got to have a kingdom. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we often think about Jesus having his kingdom come to our hearts. But here we're specifically talking about Jesus' kingdom in heaven. And what was Jesus' response? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." That, my friends, is the great news that Jesus shares to everyone who comes to him in faith. When we die on this earth, or when last day comes, whatever comes first, we will be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not because of any conditions we place on God. Not because we have done good enough to please him. That doesn't do anything at all. But in the merits of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, we know that we go face the King of Kings in all his glory. And what's neat is we're going to see Jesus for the first time and kind of get an idea which artist's rendering was the closest to Jesus' picture. But as we see Jesus face to face, you recognize that not everybody will. You heard me tell you those statistics. So many are not looking for a church home. So many are not opening up their Bible. So many cannot recognize a Bible when they see it like our children did. But recognize what job we have to do while we still have time to do it. It's not the programs that the church brings people in. It's people like you. Time and time again, the statistics show, the surveys show, that people are more connected to Christ when individual Christians bring them to know Christ and let the Holy Spirit convert them. So assure them of God's abiding love. Let them know what God's word says. Open up your Bibles to learn more about him. Help people see what's going on. Because when you see Jesus at a cross, you might say, "Oh, how pitiful a man." But then you see him victoriously rise 3 days later, as he promised. As the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we will one day see him in all his glory and all the believers with him. And maybe that member of your family that you see at Thanksgiving, maybe that neighbor across the street, maybe that coworker, will be led by you to see Christ, the King of Kings too, and enjoy eternity with us as well. Amen.